All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, let's talk a little bit about Bedikas Chametz. So tomorrow night is Bedikas Chametz. What is Bedikas Chametz? They close the lights in the house, and the father of the house walks around with a candle and a feather and a spoon, and he looks for Chametz. A little hard to understand. Why are you looking for Chametz? You just finished cleaning for Chametz. Why are you looking for Chametz? It's sort of, if he finds Chametz, that means that his daughters and his kids and his wife didn't do a good job. So why is he looking for Chametz? He should be happy that they cleaned up. There is no Chametz. And like we spoke last week and the week before, Pesach is all about doing physical things that react in the spiritual world. And therefore we take a candle, not a flashlight. You can't turn the lights on in the room, because a candle, you're able to go into corners with a candle and see little crumbs. If you just have a light on in the room, it's very hard to see them. But if you have a candle, you can see little crumbs. So the candle is able to take you into little corners in the room where the lights cannot take you. The candle represents Ner Neshama. The Bedikas Chametz that a person is supposed to make tomorrow night. Now, I go around with my daughters, you know, when they were young. I guess when you get older, you don't really go around with your father. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But what does each person has a thing to do, was supposed to do Bedikas Chametz? What is the girl, what are you doing? And what is the rest of the house doing? There was a very big Rebbe, and he used to do Bedikas Chametz. It used to take him 8 hours. He lived in a one-room house. And his wife knew how to clean. And they asked the Rebbe, 8 hours doing Bedikas Chametz? And he said, yeah, an hour took me to go through the house. 7 hours took me to go through my soul. He would sit a whole night, Bedikas Chametz, and go into his soul and look at all the corners. See, we all know the big bad things we do. And if you turn on the light, you can see that. But there's some little stuff in the little corners of our soul that we forgot and that we just passed and we didn't fix. And many of those little things can fester. On Pesach, not even a crumb you're allowed to have. So tomorrow night is a time to sit maybe in your dark room when your father is going around with the candle, or maybe following him, and thinking into yourself and into your soul, what's going on in my soul? Did I clean my soul for Pesach? Because Pesach night, we're getting married to Hashem, and I have to be perfect, and I have to be clean, and I have to be pure. Am I perfect, clean, and pure? Where am I at? And you know, people, we're very into comparison shopping, that you're very into compared to the other person. What do I look like compared to the other person? I went to a hat store yesterday, and I was standing there, and the guy's mama, she took him an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to buy a hat. And they kept asking the man who was selling that, so how do I look in this hat? The kid looked in the mirror for 40 minutes already. How do I look in this hat? And they asked me, I don't even know the guy, right? What do you think? How do I look in this hat? And then his mother came, and his sister came, and his aunt came. And then, yeah, okay, but you're a woman's opinion. Now I need a man's opinion. And I'm like, hello, you like the way you look in the hat? Buy it! Who cares if they like the way you look in the hat? I don't even know you. Why would you care if I like the way you look in the hat? Because people are very into what other people think. And that's not a Bedikas Chametz. Bedikas Chametz, I'm not on Kol HaLashon. Okay? Get me on Kol HaLashon. Well, the phone is dead, is off, so I can't be on Kol HaLashon.
Keep going.
Okay, no, it's not the reason to get so nervous.
You can use another cell phone.
I don't know. We got our mechanic here, technical man.
Okay.
Anyway, so the main thing is that a person, instead of looking at yourself compared to other people, you need to go inside and look at yourself compared to you. Now that's hard. What do you mean compared to you? Compared to really who you should be. You can fix yourself, you put your hat on, you put your dress on, it's very easy to make other people happy. It's not so easy today to make other people happy either, but it's very easy, you know, okay, she's looking for a black hat guy, so the guy puts on a black hat and a white shirt. She's looking for it, right? Whatever, you could dress yourself up. But you can't dress yourself up when it comes to you. Because you know who you are, and you know who you really are. And that's where you need to go before, and I'll explain to you why, before Pesach, you need to go in, Bedikas Chametz, tomorrow night, because we can't do Bedikas Chametz Friday night, right? You need to go inside and look at yourself and clean yourself spiritually to make changes. I wanted to quote this exactly the way it was said. It says like this. I'll try to give you an explanation of what I'm saying. Don't worry about Kolosh so much. Don't worry about it. We're on TorahAnytime.com. Anyway, I know. What should we do? You can't, you know. Lahavdil, in the middle of it, you know, the Super Bowl, they stop if the, you know, if the TV's not ready, but this is not the Super Bowl and this is not TV, so. Anyway, so this guy comes to a Rav and he says, I've been really, really bad and I want to do tshuva. So the Rav says, no, tell me a little bit some of the stuff you did. So he starts telling him, I did this Avera, and I did that Avera, and I did this Avera, and I did that Avera. And the Rav's listening to this, and the Rav says, we have no choice. You have no choice, you're going to have to kill yourself. So I'm glad I'm not a Kolosh, right? You're going to have to kill yourself, you just did too many Averas. So the guy says, okay. If that's the way I'm going to get to Gan Eden, no, what should I do? And he gets up. It's amazing. He gets up and he starts walking out of the room. And the Rav turns to him and says, where are you going? He says, I'm going next door to the apartment building, 12 stories. I'm going to go on the roof and I'm going to jump. You told me I have to go kill myself. So I have to quote what he said. So the Rav said to him, fool, you want to kill another Jew? He said, what do you mean? You told me to kill myself. He said, kill yourself, who you are right now with all those averos. That means change your life. If you change your life, you become a new person, the other person is dead. Not jump off a building. That's not going to change anything. Change your life. Get rid of the old person. And that's what a person has to do before Pesach. And the guy turned around to him and said, oh, you want me to change my life? And that's very hard. The same guy that was going to jump off a building 12 stories and kill himself, he said, but you want me to change my whole life? I don't think I can do that. And that was, I was telling the girls today, I was speaking to the girls upstairs, that was the thing with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu jumped into a Kifshan of Eish. The Torah doesn't talk about it. It's in Medrash because it says Ur Kazdim, so they learn it out from the Medrash. It doesn't say one word in the Torah that Avraham Avinu ever jumped into a fire. You know what it says? Big test. You know what is big test? Lech lecha ma'aretzcha v'lad lecha beizivicha. Leave your parents' house, leave your what's it called, your mishpacha, leave your country, and leave your city. Big deal. If Hashem came to anyone in this room and said, go to Israel, leave America, leave your birthplace, leave your family, you got to go to Eretz Yisrael. So it would be a big test. You get on El Al and you go, finished, have a nice day. Right, most newlywed couples, the first year, they tell their parents, well, the first year we want to live in Israel. So they do that on their own even, right? So what's the big test? I think it's much bigger. Avraham Avinu jumped into a fire for Hashem. And the answer is, it's a beautiful answer. Why doesn't the Torah tell you that Avraham Avinu jumped into the fire? Two reasons. Number one, that we shouldn't be like the Arabs, thinking that blowing yourself up is what Hashem wants. So if the Torah is going to tell you that Avraham Avinu jumped into a fire, you're going to think, oh, suicide. Right? It's a way of serving God. Chas v'shalom. Number one, why it doesn't say in the Torah. Number two, it's a beautiful answer. That dying for God is much easier than living for God. For dying for God is a moment and living for God is a lifetime. And therefore the Torah is not talking about dying. Hashem doesn't want us to die for Him. Hashem wants us for chai b'Him. Hashem wants us to live for Him. And therefore, it's not a time to sit Bedikas Chametz and get depressed and look into yourself and say, what a miserable person I am. It's not what Hashem wants. To go into yourself and figure out, how am I going to change? How am I going to kill my old self and start my new self? And Pesach start a new life. Because Pesach is the beginning of life, which we'll talk about tonight. Pesach is the creation of Klal Yisrael as a nation. And I tried to explain it to the boys last night. It's a little bit deep. It's from Rav Shimshon Pinkus and it's from the Zohar, whatever it is. But Klal Yisrael wasn't a nation until we left Mitzrayim. We were 70 people who came down to Mitzrayim.
We weren't Bnei Yisrael, it was 70 people.
We were scattered, we were separate. When we left Mitzrayim, we became the Bnei Yisrael. We became a nation. We were born the night of Pesach as a nation. Now everyone here knows that every Jew is connected to every Jew, right? So we are like one body. Like one body. And if you ever had a toothache, and I had one this week, okay, you find out that your tooth is connected to your toes. Because when you have a toothache, you can't think, you can't eat, you can't talk, you're miserable, you're trying to take this painkiller, that painkiller, and they don't work, and you can't sleep, and everything is connected to that little tooth all the way, molar number 16A on the right-hand side, you know what I mean? And this little tooth has destroyed your whole body. I mean, what does my tooth have to do with my toes and my knee and my head? And right? It's all connected. So the Jewish nation is one body. When Hashem looks at us as a nation, He sees one body, a head, arms, and everyone in this room. In Kabbalah we learn every person is from a different part of that body. Some people from the heel, some people from the head, depending if you're at Tzilis, what part of the other worlds you come from, whatever. This is all Kabbalah. But the bottom line is that every person in this room is a part of the Jewish body. Okay, you figure out what part, that's up to you. Right? But every part. Some girls walk out, I'm the brain. Right, okay, fine, no problem. But we're all part of the Jewish body. And therefore, on the night of Pesach, the Jewish body was created. And therefore, we create a Jewish body by the Seder. How do we create a Jewish body by the Seder? So the Gemara says that there are three parts to a human being. There are three partners, Hashem, a mother, and a father. The father gives to the baby all that is white in the child, which means the bones, the skeleton, and the skin, and the white pigment of your eye, your teeth, whatever is white comes from the father. Now it doesn't mean that, you know, okay, and everything I'll explain to you, and everything that's colored comes from the mother. Your hair, your eyes, your blood, anything in your body that has a color, your fingernail, anything that has a color that's not white, right, comes from your mother. That doesn't mean if your mother has blonde hair, you're going to have blonde hair. But it means that you will have hair with color. We'll have a color. Black, blonde, it's going to have some color. It's not, right? You're not going to be born with white hair. Unless a person's an albino. That's not in the Teva, in the regular Teva. But a person's not born with white hair. If your hair came from your father, you'd be born with white hair. Because what comes from the father is white. What comes from the mother is colored. Doesn't mean it's the same color, but it's color. What comes from Hashem is the neshama. So the three parts of a human being, which is the white of the human being, the color of the human being, and the soul of the human being, right, are coming from the three partners. When you sit down by a Seder, you have to create a human being. We're creating the person, the one Klai Yisrael that left Mitzrayim. So the important mitzvah d'oraisa from the Torah is to eat matzah. Matzah, until they came up with whole wheat. Matzah is white. Matzah is hard. Matzah is the skeleton of the Jewish nation that we are building at the Seder. And that is matzah. And therefore, the Zayar calls matzah the bread of Shemayim, the bread of the neshama. Because without the skeleton of the body, there is no body. If you took all the mother's parts that she gives to the human being, the heart has a color and the liver has a color and the kidneys have a color and the eye, the color of the eyes, and you put them on the floor, right, all those parts, it's not a human being. It's mush. It's a heart and a liver and a dit, da, 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 da. But if you take a person's skeleton with nothing on it, nothing, just the bones, full skeleton, and you look at it, that's a human being. So the basis before you build the human being is the skeleton. On the skeleton, you build the human being. The night is based on matzah. Pesach, if you ask somebody new, what's Pesach all about? They'll tell you, matzah, chametz, matzah, matzah, chametz, matzah. No one's going to tell you, kapas. What's Pesach about? Maror. It's just by the Seder. That's it. Right? Even the four cups of wine. You know, Pesach's about four cups of wine. This guy has six cups of wine every night. Like, big deal, you know, four cups of wine. So it's not about four, it's about matzah. Matzah, bakery, matzah, matzah, matzah. You only want to eat matzah. The Zohar talks about the matzah, right? So because the matzah is the basis, the matzah is the skeleton that we're going to build this Klal Yisrael on. And therefore, matzah is called midoraisa. The mitzvah of matzah is a mitzvah from the Torah. Now the mother is the blood, is the emotion. A woman is emotion. Blood, hot-blooded, cold-blooded, the blood is running up my neck. Blood is the emotion. The four cups of wine, right, that we drink, that represents the color of the mother. That's derabanan. That's not from the Torah. Why? Because emotion, the Torah can't tell you. You can't tell someone, love Hashem like crazy. How much? You can't tell someone to love. The mitzvah is to love Hashem as much as you can, but the Torah can't tell you how much. As much as you love chocolate, as much as you love an apple, as much as you love another person. It doesn't say love, right? So it says, "Ahav l'recha kamocha." No, no. We don't have a level what that means. So what we learned many times is you can't give Hashem more of an emotion than you have in your life. So if your love, and that's why there's a level of becoming a parent, the love of a parent to a child is a different love than a husband and a wife, which is a different love of a child to a parent. These are all different levels, but you can't control a person's emotions. Emotions fly. So that's dirabanan. That's from earth. In Shemayim, there's no emotion. There's no emotion in Shemayim. Malachim don't have emotion. And God doesn't have emotion. There's no emotion in the next world. You can't. God, don't ever think that God has emotion. That's apikorsis. Okay? We can understand the relationship of God through things that we understand. His love for us is not what you call it, what you think is emotion. It's much more finite. It's infinite. We cannot understand it. The Torah says he took us out with his right hand. He took us out with his left hand. That's all just expressions. He doesn't have a right hand. And he doesn't have a left hand. And for us to understand Hashem's relationship to us, so Shlomo HaMelech got up and said, listen, I don't know what you're holding in life. You have friends, so your relationship with Hashem is a friend. You're married, Rei, my wife, my friend, my daughter. He gives different expressions of God's love to us to give it to a human level. But Chas V'Shalom, God does not have human emotions at all. What? Right. Rachamim and Din is not how we understand it at all. We don't understand Rachamim. Rachamim could be a person dying. Rachamim could be the Holocaust. What? It's an expression that we should understand. It's not, there is no, you can't, I mean, you listen to all the Shiurim, that all the big tzaddikim and all the Sfarim. Rachamim, for us to understand Rachamim, is pity. What is pity? What is pity? Pity is a dog that's laying in the street, half dead, and you shoot. Pity is a horse that broke its leg and you shoot it. What is pity? What does that mean? What does that word mean? So we have, as human beings, well, we understand what is pity. That's not God's pity. It's way above and beyond that. What? He doesn't have emotions. What does it mean that his right hand took us out of Mitzrayim? He doesn't have a hand. So what does it mean? Torah says, right? Yod Chazaka. Doesn't have a hand. But for you to understand, they gave Hashem a hand.
Anthropomorphize.
Who?
Anthropomorphize.
Which means?
Which means associate anthropomorphic, a man-like character to...
To something above us.
Something above
us. Right, okay. You Bezrat Hashem, we're going to have a special class where you're going to teach literature here, okay? Because I don't even know how to spell that word, so... If I would have known that word, I would have gotten all seven. Is it seven letters? I would have gotten 500 points in Scrabble, and I would have beat my mother every time she beat me bad. Anyway, so you're asking a good question, and it's a subject I can't go into, okay? Because it's a subject that'll never end, because it's sort of the same subject as there is no time, and that what was is and will be, and the same subject as Bechira. How do I have choice if Hashem knows what I'm going to do? This is all stuff that you're trying to explain to a guppy, right, in your fish tank. You're trying to explain to him, right, that you just got a master's degree in something, right, in physics. You sit there and try to explain to Guppy about physics. He right? So you have to understand that for me to understand, it's like a Guppy trying to understand. Rav Eliel Apian says, it's a criticism to Klai Yisrael that we don't even know Hashem, like a horse, knows the person who puts the hay in its trough and its water. So a pet, right? Your cat, you come home, right? Your cat doesn't know you. What? Whoever knew Hashem to that extent, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the back of Hashem, which means that he understood not the reasons for things. He just understood some of the actions, but nobody ever saw Hashem. That's on this world. That's alive. Your eyes can't see Hashem, just like your eyes on a whole different level. You can't see air. You know there's a million bacteria flying around this room right now, right? They always are. And even dust particles, and who knows what else is right? There's perfume with different scent that's coming. You don't see it. You just can smell it, right? You don't see it. So you know there's air in this room, but you don't see the air in this room, right? So we, with these eyes, we can't even see air. You're gonna see Hashem. You can't even see air. You can't see anything that's not three dimensional. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is definitely not three dimensional. So we have to accept at some point when we start to question, we have to accept that we're a guppy. And the guppy doesn't ask questions. The guppy just, when you put the food on the top of the water, he shoots up there to get his food. Because what is he going to ask questions? What car do you drive? He's in a fish tank. Knows what car you drive. Everybody always asks, when they're young kids, who's Hashem's father? Does Hashem have a father? Does Hashem have a mother? Do you think the guppy in your fish tank is asking who your mother and father is? It really doesn't care because it can't understand that someone had 9 months and they went to the hospital. There was a delivery, and they had to take vitamins and the sonograms. It's a guppy, right? Or a cat, or a dog, even a dog. Dog doesn't understand what you're doing in school, what you're thinking, what it means to go to the bank, what it means to do business, what the stock market is. Go explain to your dog options on the stock market, right? So we have to come to a level where I'm not given the ability to see. And on a much lower level, right, we're not even given the ability, I hate to say this, you know, before Pesach, and not to get you down, just to give you an understanding. I think Hashem did this so that we would understand that all of us in this room, we don't have the ability of a dog. Now, what do I mean we don't have the ability of a dog? If you blow a dog whistle, right, he hears it because it's on such a high pitch, and we don't hear it. So there's a dog, a little black dog, right, little guy, little puppy, who he hears things that you don't hear. So you want to understand Hashem? Hello? You can't even hear what a dog hears. You understand? Human being is one of the weakest of all the things in the world. Who are we to understand Hashem? So Hashem said, I forgot the word, but whatever. Hashem said, I'm going to explain it to you in your terms. Just like when you want to talk to a kindergarten kid, right? If you're going to use that vocabulary word, they're going to look at you and say, can we play now? Right? So you got to explain it to them on their level, and you got to make a mashal. So Kosh Baruch Hu did this for us, and he uses mashalim, and therefore in your animamim, is one of the animamim is that a Kosh Baruch Hu has no guf, v'lo masigei guf. He doesn't have a body, but he's not influenced by anything physical. That's in the animamim. So we understand. But he has to give us a way to understand them. Otherwise, it's too out there. We have to have a common denominator to understand. But his midah of rachamim is not your midah of rachamim. And his midah of din is not your midah of din. At all. At all. But it has to be explained to us in that level. Okay. Anyway. Where was I? So we were in Bedikas Chametz. Let's go out of Bedikas Chametz for a minute. But I just want to tell you a story that I've said before about a person going into themselves and not worrying about what everyone else thinks. It's one of the cutest stories I've ever heard in my life, because I always imagine when I tell you a story, I imagine it happening. So there's this guy and he's a drunk. And every single night he goes to the bar and he gets blitzed. And his wife is fed up with it. So he comes home one night and she says, listen to me, if you go one more time to the bar, take your clothing, take your stuff, get out. I don't want to ever see you again. No, I love you. I would never go to the bar. I would never do that. No. Okay. Nope. She goes to sleep. He sees she's fast asleep. He crawls out of bed. He goes down the steps, gets dressed, goes to the bar. He says, nah, I'm going to take 2-3 drinks. It's not going to be a big deal. He ends up getting so blitzed. He doesn't stop drinking. He comes home, right? He's thinking, oh my God, my mouth stinks from alcohol. What am I going to do? So he goes down to the refrigerator and he takes a glass of Coke and he drinks it. He gargles with it, right? You can imagine gargling a glass of Coke. And he drinks it. And now he's got this glass in his hand. He's totally drunk and he's going up the stairs. I can just see it, right? And he slips and he falls and the glass smashes right on his face. And his face is all cut up and gushing blood. And he's saying to himself, oh my goodness. Now she's, you know, even when you're drunk, you realize you're still scared of your wife. And like, oh my goodness, now she's gonna catch me. What am I gonna do? So he says, oh, perfect alibi. My cup had some soda in it. It's all over the carpet, the glass on the carpet. I went down, I tripped in the middle of the night, right? Good, so I'm gonna go to the bathroom quietly, right? And I'm gonna put Band-Aids on my face and cream and all kinds of antibiotic cream, you know, so, right? He comes in there, he looks at the mirror, his face is all cut up. And he's going to get all kinds of infections. He opens it up. There's antibiotic, right? Bacitracin, Neosporin, whatever it is. And he puts it all over. He puts it on his face. He puts the Band-Aids all over his face. Ah, okay. Crawls back into bed. Nothing happened, right? Next morning, his wife's pounding on his back. Get up! Pack your bags! Get out of my house! And don't ever come back. You're such a drunk. He goes, drunk? What are you talking about? I'm not a drunk. I didn't go anywhere. She goes, oh! The cuts on my face you're talking about? Oh, the cuts on my face? Oh, I promise. I went downstairs. I went to get a glass of Coke. I tripped. It fell. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. She goes, yeah? You weren't drunk last night, right? He goes, scout's honor. I wasn't drunk. She grabs him by his pajama shirt. Yeah, you come with me right now to the bathroom. She pulls him into the bathroom. And he looks at the mirror. And on the mirror, all over the place, is cream with Band-Aids. Okay, this side has to get it. Come on, come on, come on. Okay. And he realizes that he's in very big trouble. That's a very funny story, and I can see it happen. But it's a mushel. And it was a good story, yeah? You like that one? I don't repeat stories. You'll have to catch it on kolaloshanatorahanytime.com. Anyway, we got more, don't worry. So, it's an unbelievable marshal. It's very funny, but it's very sad. Because so many of us are busy fixing the mirror instead of fixing ourselves. And all we're worried about is our reflection in the mirror instead of worrying about ourselves. And if you fix the reflection in the mirror and you don't fix yourself, you're still bleeding. And you're still cut. And you're still in big trouble. So when it comes the night before Pesach, forget about the mirror. Forget about everybody else. Forget about what everybody else thinks. What you're supposed to be thinking. What's your potential? What you can do, what you can get this Pesach. How you can grow. That's what you got to think. Don't put Band-Aids on the mirror. So many people are busy putting Band-Aids on the mirror and not Band-Aids on themselves. And that takes us to Pesach night. Very big question about Pesach. What's this deal with matzah? Hashem knew exactly when we were going out. He told us. What's the big chipazon? They went out in a rush. Okay, so one kid said last night after the shiur, he says, Rebbe, Jews are always late. That's why they weren't ready. They, you know, they're always late. I'm like, no, that's not why they went out. That's not why they went out in a rush. What happened over here? Why matzah? Why couldn't we have challah? Prepare. Get our suitcases together. Right? Chipazon. We ate the Korban Pesach the first time. You have to have the stick in your hand, everything in your hand, ready to go. And the question is why? And the answer is amazing. There was a fight the whole time. Now Pesach, by the way, leaving Mitzrayim really is not the end of our escape, because the real escape happened on Shvi Yishol Pesach when the Yamsuf split, we got out and they died. Because leaving Mitzrayim with a million armed, crazy Arabs running after us, right? And if you read Oz Yashir discussing between themselves, we're going to pound them, we're going to plunder them, we're going to that, right? So we're not free, we're fugitives. Two people leave jail. One ran away, and he's supposed to be in jail. And one, his time is up, he left. The one that ran away, is he a free man? He's got the whole United States Sheriff's Department running after him. He's a fugitive. He's not in jail, but he's a fugitive. The guy who got out because he did 10 years, he's a free man. The Jews weren't free from Mitzrayim. We got out of Mitzrayim, and they were running after us to kill us. So we weren't free. We only got free by Kriyas Yamsuf. Now there was a problem, and I'm going to end with this. There was a problem with a connection between Shvi Shel Pesach and the Seder night. And the problem was that even though we were good Jews in a way that we didn't change our clothing, we didn't change our clothing to look like the Goyim, that we didn't change our clothing, we didn't speak like them, and our names were still Jewish, we still did Avodah Zarah. We served Avodah Zarah like them. We went to their clubs, and we bowed down to their idols, and that we did during Mitzrayim. So there was a major problem when it was time for us to go out of Mitzrayim. And the problem was that the Satan in Shemayim said, Heim oivdei Avodah Zarah, the Arabs are serving Avodah Zarah, the Egyptians, and the Jews are serving Avodah Zarah. Save them, save them. Whatever you're going to do for them, they deserve, they're equal. And there was no answer. Because we were doing Avodah Zarah. We didn't deserve to go out of Mitzrayim. And we know that if we weren't taken out of Mitzrayim, the second we were taken out, we were on the 49th level, we were on the 50th level, we would have never been out. So what happened at that moment? What happened on the moment that you're going to celebrate the Mitzvah Hashem, Matzah Shabbos, is that the child ran out into the street. The child ran out into the street. The child of the parent. Let's say two children ran out into the street. One is yours and one isn't. And there's a car and he's about to hit the children. You're going to pull your child out of the way first. Now, people are going to say, well, why did you pull him out first? This kid gets better marks, the other kid. And he's a better ball player. Like, make a cheshbon before you pull the kid out. Which one deserves to get pulled out? The parent to say, everyone here would say, Rabbi Wallerstein, are you out of your mind? Of course you pulled your own kid out. It's a reaction. There's a car, your kid. You see your kid, you see your car. That's all you see. You don't even see anyone else. You pull them out. That's what happened. Again, trying to explain to you in the human terms. That's what happened to Pesach night. Hashem saw that if the Jewish nation was one more second in Mitzrayim, we're going to get hit by the car. So don't ask me, Yetzer Hara, why I'm saving my child. Well, maybe the Mitzrayim are just as holy or just as unholy. So Hashem said, Banim Atem Hashem, at this point, until now, until it's crisis critical. So there's a whole sichsuch, there's a whole discussion. Who do you pull out first? But when it's critical, and it's your child, there's no discussion. That's what saved us in Mitzrayim. And that's why it's called the night of Chipazon. It was had to be fast. It wasn't a thought out who deserves it more. It was boom, car, child, grab, save. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, about to go under, never to become a nation. 49th level, becoming the 50th level, never to become a nation. I have 1 second, said Hashem. Boom! Chipazon. They're out of here. And that's what he did. And he pulled us out. And he saved us. And therefore the Zohar says that Purim night, that Pesach night, there's a magic between Hashem and the Jews called Chipazon. Yom Kippur is a deal. Yes, no, you deserve it. You don't deserve it. Pesach night was a night many years ago in Mitzrayim that Hashem pulled the child away from the car. And therefore, there's a special koach strength, Pesach night, that any Jew that has fallen to a place that they can't get up, Hashem says, there's no cheshbon. That's my daughter, that's my son, and Pesach night, I have to save him. That's why it's called Leil Shimurim. That's my kala, and I got to pull her away from the car. And don't ask me, well, they go to clubs and they go to clubs. They watch the internet and they watch the internet. They listen to non-Jewish music and they listen to non-Jewish music. So Hashem, why are you going to help these Jews? Why are you bringing Mashiach? What's Eliyahu Navi coming to the house? What's going on here? You're going to this Jewish house. Look, upstairs they have a 45-inch plasma TV, says the Yetzer Hara. And then they got the internet in the house. And they got who knows what kind of books in the house. And they got the 50 Cent and 90 Cent and then all those black guys singing in the house. And they got all that on their iPod in the house. So the Yetzer Hara says, Manishtana! halayla hazeh? He asked Hashem, manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. Why is tonight different? These Jews are not any different than their neighbors who are not Jewish. So Hashem, you're right. Maybe they're not so different. But tonight we're celebrating when the baby was in front of the car. So there's no manishtana. And therefore there's a special, it says the Zohar, power, Pesach night, by the first Seder. By the first Seder. There's a special koach called chipazon, where a person can pray. Chipazon means in a rush, immediately, in a split second. And right after the first night of Pesach, that is gone. And you got to start counting Sfira, and you got to go 49 days, and Gvur Sheba Chesed, and Chesed Sheba Gvura, and Hayit Sheba Yisoid, until you get to Malchus Sheba Malchus. Until you get back to that level that you are on the first Seder night, it's going to take you 49 days to get to Shavuos. You got to build. You got to earn it. Pesach night, you don't earn it. It's a freebie. The kid didn't earn. Car's coming. Well, did you do your homework? Let's see if I'll save you or not. There's no earning Pesach night. There's chipazon. There's a second. There's a split second. And that's only the first Seder. And after that, we lose that moment. And the Zohar says that if you grab that moment, Pesach night, then your whole year, it lasts the whole year. You own that moment. Like I spoke to you once before. So it's a crazy holy night. So of course, that's why Pesach night, everyone's talking and the family's getting together. And how you doing? How you doing? I haven't seen you. What's happening? Oh, cousin Chaya and cousin Maya and that. And nice dress. And it's the holiest night and you're not grabbing the moment. And so how do you grab the moment? You grab the moment by sitting by the Seder table and saying a Dvar Torah and listening to the Dvar Torah. And not saying, it's 11:15, let's get to the matzah bowl soup. And Chayim, what is the most heard line at a Pesach Seder? Say your Dvar Torah tomorrow by lunch. You can say them tomorrow. What do you have to say them tonight for? The most heard line. Everybody has that line. It's 11:30. Listen, I know you're learning yeshiva. It's very nice. Say it tomorrow by lunch. Of course, by lunch, everyone can leave and they don't have to be there, right? It's the biggest mistake that you can make. Look in the Haggadah. It's telling us something. That they were Talmidei Chachamim sitting in Bnei Barak. The biggest gedolim. They knew more than any of us in this room will ever know if we lived for 2,000 years. And they sat a whole night and were in Sapi Yitzchus Mitzrayim. What are you guys talking about so much? And the answer is that it says in the Zohar, Hashem comes with Pamal Yishal Maila. He comes to every Jewish house and every Jewish Seder with all the Malachim. And he says, I am the Chassan. They are the Kala. You want to hear what the Kala is saying about the Chassan? Come with me to the Schwartz house. Come with me to the Friedman house. And come listen. Sometimes it's better Hashem doesn't go to that house. Because when you're supposed to be talking about the Chassan and how he saved me and how he did this for me and how he did that for me, and you're talking about politics or money or school or any of these other things, it's the greatest insult to the Chassan. I'm not important enough on the night we get engaged to talk about me. And the night we get in, and I explained this last night. The night, I have to ask Mechila from Hashem every time I say this because it's very human. It's very human. Pesach night, Hashem was committed to us. He committed to us, not on Shavuos, not on Yom Kippur, and not on Rosh Hashanah, and not on Purim, and not on Chanukah. He committed to us, to the Kala. He committed to us on Pesach night when he took us out of Mitzrayim. And what does that mean? Because all Sifrei Kabbalah say that we got engaged. What does engaged mean? Is marriage commitment or is engagement commitment? Engagement's commitment. Marriage is just fulfilling the commitment. When a person gets engaged, they're committed. Will you marry me? That's when he asks, will you marry me? That's engagement. And she says, yes. That's the commitment. And therefore, listen carefully, if you don't get married, what did you break? You broke your wedding? No, you broke your engagement. Because your engagement is the commitment. So if you don't get married, you broke your commitment. So when the Svarim say that Pesach night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got engaged to us, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu committed Shavuos, I will marry you, I will give you the Torah, that will be your ring. I will marry you. So the commitment, The night of commitment that Hashem committed to us was the night of Pesach. And therefore the Chassan says, I committed to you forever till Mashiach, and I'm going to bring you Mashiach. And I want to hear what the Kala has to say about me. And therefore the Rabbanan understood, tonight's the night to talk about the Chassan. And a girl up here just asked me, what should you do? I'll tell you a big secret. And people don't know this. You read the Haggadah, the kids are sitting there, it's good, it's interesting, it's very nice. But it was a minig of Big Tzadikim, my grandfather, my father, Oliver Shalom, to sit by the Pesach table and talk about Nisim that happened to them in their life. Because Hashem is always taking us out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Paro, Zeh Yetzahara, Mitzrayim means Meitzer, Meitzer means narrow, narrowness. Narrowness, which is a person's neck, which is what connects our head, and it's a whole different shear. But narrowness, we're all, every person who thinks narrowly, depressed, I can't do it, this won't work, this is miserable, that's thinking narrow, that's Meitzer, that's Mitzrayim. We are all in Mitzrayim. Everybody's in Mitzrayim. Pesach is when we get out of our narrowness. Pesach is when we leave Mitzrayim. So to sit at the table and to say, I'd like to say something about myself. This year, I was going through a very, very hard time with this and this thing, and I davened to Hashem, and you're not going to believe it. The next day, when I got up, right, I don't know, I opened something, a book, and the answer was right there. Wow! You think that's something? And the brother says, I'll tell you what happened to me in Eretz Yisrael. We were somewhere, and we left, and 10 minutes later, there was a bomb. You think that's something? I was in a business deal, and I lost the deal, and they ended up going bankrupt. It saved me millions of dollars. And you think that's something? That's what Hashem wants to hear. That's a Seder. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not just what happened, but your Yetzias Mitzrayim that's happening. I wasn't religious. I went to Israel. I changed. Yetzias Mitzrayim. I came out of Mitzrayim. You want to know how I did it? This one helped me. That one helped me. I helped me. That's what a Seder is supposed to be like. And you know what? If a family would start talking like that, you won't be finished before sunrise. Because everybody has a story to tell. And if you have the mazel and the schus to have a grandmother or a great-grandmother sitting at that table, or great-grandfather who went through the Holocaust, by doing this, they sit there and they're grumpy and they want to just finish. And if you start saying, Zaidi, so tell us about your Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tell us about your Nisim. Oh boy, will you hear stories that you never heard before. That's a Seder. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's talking, that's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in every single year. And that's what we tell the Russia. If you would have been there, you wouldn't have gotten out. Just like you didn't get out now. There's no difference. If you're a Russia, you're in Mitzrayim. This is the same thing. You think Mitzrayim is building sphinxes with some heavy stuff on your back. Mitzrayim is looking at the wrong things that you're not supposed to look at. That's a much bigger Mitzrayim. That's the Neshama, is never carrying such a big fat load. And that's what the Seder. So Hashem says, tonight, you don't deserve it. Leil Shimurim. You don't need to earn it. Just call. And that's why, by the way, that's why we don't say Hallel from the first 2 days, the next days we don't say Hallel. Right? So one of the reasons is because the Mitzrayim died in the Yamsuf, and you don't say Hallel when people die, even your enemies. But you got to hear this. And I'm going to end with this. This is a thought. I told a rabbi met me in Shul today. He said, okay, Wallerstein, give me a thought on Pesach. Whatever. So I said, I'll give you a thought. This person is a very big person. And I told him what I'm about to tell you. And it was before Mincha, and he was like, oh my goodness, I never heard anything like that. And this is Rav Shimshon Pinkus. And I must repeat this to you. And with this, we're going to end. We were stuck. Shvi Yishol Pesach, between a rock and a hard place. We were, the Yamsuf was in front of us, and the Mitzrayim were behind us. And we're stuck. And the Jews start screaming, you took us out of Mitzrayim to be killed, to be drowned, blah, 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 blah. Right? Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you do when a Jew's in trouble? You daven. Right? So the Pasuk says, he started davening. The Pasuk says, Vayom Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Ma titzak elai, why are you screaming to me? Davel b'nei Yisrael v'yisod. Don't talk to me now, Moshe. Don't daven to me. Tell the B'nai Yisrael they should travel. Says Rashi. Rashi says that Hashem was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu the following. Matitzak Eli, Lamdeinu Shahaya Moshe Omeru Mispalal. We see from here that Moshe was praying. Now's not a time to daven. She's thrown nice and mitzvah. The Jews are in trouble. What's going on over here? This is Shvi'i Shel Pesach. When a Jew's in trouble, what do you do? What do we learn all our life? You daven. So Moshe's standing there. He's stuck. We're all stuck. All the Jews are stuck. A raging sea. Wasn't that nice little pond in the mountains, you know? It was like a raging sea. And on behind them were a bunch of crazy maniac Arabs, right? Just interested in killing every single Jew. And we're stuck. And Moshe Rabbeinu's like, okay, everybody, take out your tehillims. And Hashem says, No davening now. Go! Hashem, you didn't exactly help the situation. If you get rid of the water, we could go. What are you answering me? I'm telling you, Hashem, I got a problem. I got water and I got Arabs. Help me. Hashem says, what's the problem? Go. I'm like, Hashem, do your thing. Like, you know, get rid of the water or give me gills so I can like swim in the water. Whatever. Build a bridge. Klai Yisrael, if they would see what we have today, I always tell you, there's, you know, bigger miracles today. You go over the George Washington Bridge. What is holding that thing up? Right? Thousands of cars and trucks and everything. You get to span across the water, right? It's Kriyas Yamsuf. Every day, people go back and forth. They don't think about it. If the Jews in that time, Hashem would have built a bridge, right, across, would have been amazing. Give every Jew an easy pass. And, finish. We all go over the bridge. Be beautiful. And we could have made some money to build a Mishkan, you know, to eat, whatever. No. Hashem answers him. Go. So, everyone asks this question. And Chazal answers, that at this point, the Jews again had the same problem they had going out of Mitzrayim. And the problem was that the Malachim and Shemayim said, the Arabs, hey Moiv de Avoy Dezara, the Jews, hey Moiv de Avoy Dezara. No problem, Hashem. You want to split the Yam? You have to split for both of them. They both have to go through. The Jews go through, but then the Arabs have to go through and we'll continue the race. Because there's no difference between the two. So Hashem was in the same situation as he was in Mitzrayim, and we were in the same situation. We were in a situation of being totally demolished, destroyed as a nation. And therefore, it's another reason we don't say Hallel. But there's a beauty in being against the wall. Because when you're against the wall and there's no one else that can help you, God steps in. Now, this is what I want to say. I'm asking Mechila from Hashem, but I'm going to just give you a little bit of an understanding. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. God knows the truth. The moment in Mitzrayim that spiritually, we were going to hit a level that we could never come at. God was about to lose us. Sort of, I have a friend that was going out with his wife. She wasn't his wife at the time. And he's going out, and 10 times, and 15 times, and 18 times, and yes, and no, and maybe so. And she said, enough of this. And she started going out. She said, that's it, I'm out of this. You can't pull my chain for months, and then I can't do this anymore. Have a good day. And she started dating another guy. And she went, she liked the guy. The second guy, she liked him too. And one date, and five dates, and six dates. And she's getting engaged to this new guy. And my friend shows up at the door. Right? He says, I got to talk to you. She comes outside. I have a ring. I want to marry you. She said, Meshugana, we're going out for 2 years or whatever. And you couldn't commit. Now you're all of a sudden committing? He said, yeah, because I realize you're going to get engaged to the other guy. I'll never get you. Just to give you a little bit of understanding. If Hashem would have lost us in Mitzrayim, he would have never gotten us. So at that last second, there was a commitment from Hashem to Klal Yisrael because he was about to lose his only child. And there's no comparison. It was a very big, what did Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, he said to Hashem, you can destroy Klal Yisrael, but before you do, check out the rest of the world and find out who you're going to replace him with. God came back and said, I'll keep him. It's a medrash. So you're not going to find anyone better than us. So at that second that he was going to lose us, he committed to us. That's Pesach night. It's such an unbelievable moment. So in the pain of almost losing something, including yourself, you get to find yourself. It's a very deep thought, and you think about it. And that's the matzah morah that we spoke about, the two opposite things, the paradox of the good and the bad, because the good and the bad is one. And at the most crucial moment when there's nothing left to help you, and you give up on everything you could do, that's when Hashem will help you, because that's when you're leaning on Him the absolute most. So you want to hear what the Zohar says here? Listen to this. The Zohar says, it's very nice, the answer that the answer that everyone gives is that they have to be moisei nefesh. Davening is something that the Christians do, and the Muslims do, and the Buddhists do, and everybody does. They all pray. So that's not going to blow out the malachim that are saying, they're avoid zara, they're avoid zara, because we all pray. But mesiras nefesh, mesiras nefesh, to live a whole life, mesiras nefesh doesn't mean to kill yourself. Mesiras nefesh is not when an Arab blows himself up. They do that every single day. Every single day in Iraq. That's not mesiras nefesh. Mesiras nefesh means that your whole life, I got to dress tznias, and I have to eat kosher, and I have to keep Shabbos. That's mesiras nefesh. Okay, that's mesiras nefesh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the Jewish nation at this point has to show that we are mesiras nefesh. We, whatever Hashem wants, we do. And if this is what he wants us to go into the Yam. That's what he wants. That's the mitzvah. There's nothing too small or too big for a Jew. This is the mitzvah today. Today the mitzvah is to go into the Yam. We're going into the Yam. And that is against Teva. Because the nature of a person is not to put themselves in danger. The nature of us is to live and to protect ourselves. So Hashem asked us to do something that was against nature so he could tell nature, which is the Yam, the Jews are now doing something that has nothing to do with nature. Therefore, I can ask nature to step aside. And that's how the Yam split. That's what most of the Terutzim are. But I got to tell you what the Zohar says. The Zohar says, Hashem, the way he said it to Moshe, was, Ma Titzak Eli, sounds like he was criticizing him. He should have said, now's not a time to pray. Now's a time to go. Not what he said. He said sort of like, if you're crying to your mother, and your mother says, what are you crying for? That's a criticism. That's a criticism. If the kid is crying because it's cold, the mother doesn't say, what are you crying for? You're cold? I'll get you a jacket. So what's driving this answer that the Zohar says is, what's the matitzak eli? Hashem is criticizing, like, cry, baby, be quiet. What do you want from us? Of course we're crying. We're in front of an ocean. We're stuck. What else did the Jew do? So the Zohar says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you came out of Mitzrayim. You saw the miracles, the 10 makos that I did in Mitzrayim. You saw makos b'chos. You saw me take water and turn it into blood. What are you praying for? Why are you praying? Water? It's not water. If I tell you to go in there, that's not water. That's ground. I turned water into blood. I turned the whole Mitzrayim around. I turned the whole nature around. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you, you're stuck. You have arrows behind you. And water in front of you? So if you cry to me and you pray to me, means I have a problem. Hashem, I have a problem. And I need you to help me straighten out my problem. Hashem said, you should be on the level. I don't have a problem. It's not a problem. Water's not a problem when Hashem tells me to go into water. So Hashem said, my titzik eli, why are you praying? Oh, because you see it's a problem? Then you're not where you're supposed to be. If you're praying because you see it's a problem, at this point, you should have said, water? What's water? We saw what Hashem did with water in Mitzrayim. What's the big deal? So Hashem, with a criticism, Ma Titzak Eli, why are you davening now? Why are you crying? What did Hashem say? Davro B'nei Yisrael, turn around to the Jews, V'yisou, and go. No prayer, no begging, nothing. It's not a problem. There is no problem. That's what the Zohar says. That's the level that a person has to reach by Shvi Yishol Pesach. There is no problem. It's not a problem. Hashem can do anything. So what's the problem? A person on such a level of emunah, you can walk through an ocean. Maybe Hashem will give them gills. Maybe Hashem will make the water ice. That would have been pretty easy. And they'll just walk across the ice, give them ice skates. They'll even get there in half the time. Right? Doesn't matter how Hashem's going to fix it. Doesn't matter. Hashem said, it's not a problem if I'm involved. You're my children and we're connected. It's not a problem. So why do we have tefillah? Why do we have tefillah? Because to realize there's a problem and to pray to Hashem is also a big level of emunah. Someone's losing his money and he turns to Hashem and says, help me. That means that he doesn't think the money is being lost because he's a bad businessman or business went bad. He realizes it's coming from Hashem. That's also a great level. It's also a great level. But Hashem says there are times you have to be on such a level that it's not even prayer. It's just walking like Avraham Avinu into a Kifshan Avesh. That's not fire. It's not fire. The question is, was that such a big Nisayan? Maybe that's why it doesn't say it in the Torah. Avraham Avinu wasn't fire. Hashem said, go in, I'm in. It's cold fire. It can't hurt me. So that's the level which is neuridical level to reach on such a level. But Pesach night is such a chipazon. It's so fast. It's so immediate. It's so in an instant that if you grab that moment, Pesach night, it'll last you a whole year and all your problems won't even be problems. It happened to me in business. I'll never forget it. I just told someone who's struggling. I said, I had a good business, Baruch Hashem. And then just one day, I don't know why, just one day I got a phone call from my bank. They're pulling my credit. This was like 8 years ago. They're pulling my credit line. My whole business is my credit line. You pull my credit line, I'm closed. On top of that, the same day, my biggest account called me and said they were not happy with the bags, with the samples. They're giving the business to someone else. I was like, what did I do? They pulled every string from my business. I was done. I sat there. I called back the bank. They didn't like this. They didn't like that. And we're pulling it, and we're going after your house. We're going after anything you own for that credit line. It's a big credit line. They're going to strip me. I'm not going to have anything left. My business is gone. My biggest customer is gone. I'm done. I'm finished. I can't finance my business. I'm done. I'll never forget. I remember it like today. I was sitting at my desk in my office, and I said, I can't call anybody at this point. There's nobody that can lend me the money that I need. I just lost my biggest customer. Okay, Hashem, I got out of my chair. I'm serious. Get out of my chair. I said, it's yours, babes. God, business is yours. You got money. You got friends. You know how to make bags, whatever I need. It's yours. I'm going to Mincha. You take care of the business. Right? You would have seen me. You think Rabbi Wallstein's out of his mind. I got to such a point that I knew that no matter how smart I am, no matter how good a businessman I am, no matter what, I looked at all my numbers, I'm done, I'm finished, it's over. So I said, Hashem, it's your business, not my business. You want to make it work, make it work. You don't want to make it work, don't make it work. I'm out of here. I went to Mincha, to Shomer Shabbos. I remember it like today. I went to Mincha. They didn't have a chazan. Usually they have a chazan, they never have a chazan. They said, you want to dam for the Amid? Now at this point, I should have said, dam for the Amid. After Hashem did this to me, I give tzedakah, you know, you go through all the good things you do, right? He owes me, big, right? But yeah, I'm down for the Ahmed. God's running the business. Maybe I'll go for a long lunch afterwards. You know, I went, I down Mincha, and I really down Mincha. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm out. I'm done. You run it. You can ask my brother-in-law. By the time I got back to the office, okay, and I after Mincha, I did a little chumash, whatever. By the time I got about an hour later, my accountant called, because we had told him what happened with the bank, and he said he didn't like that bank anyway. He's very connected to North Fork, the debt, whatever it is. He said, I will have you a line of credit within 2 weeks. And you know what? They're easy to work with. I'll get you a bigger line of credit, whatever. I said, are you crazy? He says, it's not going to be a problem. I said, but this bank had a problem with this, this, and the other thing. He says, no, they won't have a problem. The bank that I deal with today is not Bank of New York, Yamach Shemam. North Fork. The biggest customer I have, still my customer. My salesman, this and that, things worked out, took another day, back and forth, It all went away. You know when it went away? When I realized I could do nothing anymore at all. I was finished. I was done. And I said, Hashem, you're in the chair. Have a good day. And that was it. Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samad, put Hashem's name on your desk. I'm done. That's when a person gets help. People wonder why they don't find Shidduchim so fast. It's because they're looking for Shidduchim. If you're looking for Shidduchim, then it's very human. If you turn around, I'm not telling you, you have to do what you have to do. But at a certain point, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, you know what? It's yours. I'm your daughter. You have to take care of me. Right? You have to take care of me. That's a very big, you can't just do that when you're in trouble. It has to be done with everything else. But at that point, when your mamish have nowhere else to go, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a moment, that's the child in front of the car. There's no way to save the child. You can scream at the driver, he's too close. You can scream at the child, he's already on the fender. The only way you can save the child is by pulling him with your own hand. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in 100%. But you can't ask for that. Because if you ask Hashem for that, you're saying, God, I want you to strip me of everything. I want to be nobody. I want to be penniless. And then you're going to save me? Therefore, we don't say halal. We don't say a full halal. Shvi Yishol Pesach. Because Shvi Yishol Pesach came to a point where we had to go mamish that we were about to die. The Mitzvim were behind us. The water's in front of us. And we were saved. But you can't say halal for that. You can't ask Hashem, do me a favor, put me in such a position that you strip me of everything in my life. I'm nobody, I'm nothing, and I'm totally you. You can get to that point without being at that point. And let HaKadosh Baruch Hu run your life. Thus is Pesach. That is Pesach. So my bracha to everyone is that we have this little thing that we do by the Seder called Afikoman. And The reason that's given for Afikoman is to keep the kids up. Because if there's no Afikoman, they're gone. You know, after the matzo ball soup, they're gone. Or after the first story, they're gone. So we keep them up with all kinds of stuff. There's a meaning to give out candies or whatever it is. There's a much deeper meaning to Afikoman. Afikoman is Mashiach. Afikoman is the hidden half of matzo. There's a half a matzo that we see, but there's a half a matzo that we don't see. Now, I don't know your minig. There's two minhagim. One is that the father hides it, and the kids look for it. And one is that the kids hide it, and the father looks for it. But the real way I believe that's written is that the father hides it, and the kids look for it. Not that the kids steal it from the father and they hide it. There's two ways that it could work. One, right, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides it, and he's hidden. And our job is to look for him. And that's unbelievable. Hide and go seek, and you go. And what do the kids learn? That if you work, and you look, and you find, you get a present. In life, girls, if you're just going to sit at the table with everybody else, and you're not going to look for Hashem, then you're not going to get the present at the end of life. The present comes at the end. And you have to look for that Afikoman, and that Afikoman is looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's another minig. And the other minig is that the father has to look for the children. And we say to Hashem, you got to look for us too. You got to find the ones that are nebuch off the derech and that are not looking for you, Hashem. You got to come and you have to help that too. So both minhagim are good. And there's a prize at the end of that, that Klai Yisrael will be in Shlemus and that Mashiach will come. And therefore, it's not just a joke looking for an Afikoman. Every person has to look for an Afikoman. At the end of the Seder, it's time to look for your Mashiach. And if Klai Yisrael looks for the Afikoman, Ein Maftir and Achar Afikoman. After Afikoman, there's nothing else. That's it, it's over. Afikoman is Mashiach. And Mashiach is very close. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to look for him. The famous story of the hide and go seek, where the kid comes crying to his father, and he says, "Why are you crying?" And he says, "We played hide and go seek." He says, That's a cool game. Why are you crying?" He says, "Because all the other kids hid, we looked for him, and I was last. And I hid, and nobody looked for me." And that's very sad. That when a kid hides, there's no one there to look for him. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the same thing to us. Afikoman, the Afikoman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. And he wants Klai Yisrael to look for him. And he wants to know, how come we're looking for everybody in the game? Superstars, actresses, people with money, style. We're looking for everyone in the game. But when Hashem hides, I didn't see any miracles. I don't see God, Rabbi. So I'm out of this. Hashem says, I'm hiding. Come look for me. I'm in the same game as everybody else. Money's hiding. You find money. Everything else that's hiding, you find. I'm also hiding. Pesach night, we say, we'll find you, Hashem. We'll look in this room. We'll look in that room. We'll find you. And Hashem says, you find me Pesach night, girls, I give you a present at the end. That you all be, Bezrat Hashem, all of us will get that present. That Eliyahu Hanavi will come to our houses this year and take us with him back to Eretz Yisrael to have Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash. You should all have a wonderful Pesach. And I was telling the girls upstairs, a matzah is round. The sun is round. And the moon is not round. The moon changes all the time. The sun is whole. The sun is round. When the sun goes up and the sun goes down, the sun doesn't change. It's whole. It just disappears from the earth. A matzah is round. Round is shalem. Right? We specifically have to use matzahs on Pesach that are called shalem, that are whole. They sell in the matzah factory shovel, the broken ones, they're half the price. They're much cheaper. We have to use whole matzahs, shalem, full matzahs, like the sun. Up, down, maror, wine, doesn't make a difference. We're always whole. Hashem should always, no matter what we're going through, even in the gullus and all the stuff I've been screaming about all year, and the movies and all the garbage and everything else, Klai Yisrael is still the best there is, and Klai Yisrael is Shalom. And I want to tell you how cool Klai Yisrael is. I got up last night by the boys, I'm not doing it to you, and I said to the boys, I said, you want to do Friday morning beer chametz? You think flipping a box of cereal into a fire and flipping some bread into a fire is bir chametz? You want to know what's bir chametz, burning your chametz this Friday? Take all your filthy books and your filthy magazines and take all your DVDs and all your garbage, make a big fat fire and throw them into the fire. I said, then you did bir chametz and you'll have an unbelievable Pesach. I daven at a certain minyan in Landau's every day. I came to minyan today. One of the guys in my shir, standing there, says, Rebbe, I'm not home. I'm going to a hotel. Could you do me a favor? Could you burn all this with the chametz? I said, what do you got there, man? Don't bring it into shul. I promise you, it's the truth. He had a bag, and in that bag must have been 40 soft-covered books. Okay, I didn't decide, I'm not reading them, whatever it is. And some DVDs, whatever it is. And he gave me that bag and he said, Rebbe, I want you to know I came home from your shir and I knew that if I don't do it right away, because you talked about chipazon, you talked about that moment, I took all these books, which I'm very into, and I put them in a bag with my DVDs and it's over. He says, you know where I'm going today? I'm going to Eichler's. And I'm buying myself svarim and I'm buying myself books and I'm going to have a Pesach. Chai Yisroel, Mikam Chai Yisroel. The bottom line is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to look for you, you're going to look for us, and this Pesach night we're going to find each other. You, Hashem, is going to get the prize. You're going to get your child back, which is a great prize, and we are going to get our father back, and we should all in this room for coming tonight when you're supposed to be cleaning and suffer through this shir, and you're all here. Hashem should give you all this chus that when Mashiach comes, you should be in the Ezras Nashim of the Beis HaMikdash. Amen.